First of all,
okay, the following, I don't have any personal financial relationships with with commercial interests irrelevant and existing during the last 12 months. I don't know. Maybe I have some stuff
you
to close.
To
yeah, I don't know. You know, yes. Let's see which. Okay, so we need to have. What are we going to be looking at a little bit today? And hopefully, you can get out of this presentation. You identify at least one GIS tool function to analyze demographic data. I'm going to cover two or three of these, and then secondly, is to describe at least one process step for obtaining the specific data and creating and presenting a strategic map. So, what is GIS? Well, it's a spatial representation of reality, meaning that spatial, at least it has two dimensions, and referring to geographic space. Some of the more sophisticated can give three dimensions, and even the fourth dimension, you can use GIS to temporally map data. And then it's also a representation. So you can pick any characteristic and give it a geographic reference. Okay, so in GIS, as you know, those are new, we describe our spatial relationship in terms of a line, which it might be a freeway, it might be a street, it could be a power line, it could be sewer lines, anything that has some kind of a line aspect. The other is a polygon. Polygons are usually referred to and used in land representation, such as states, counties, anything that covers an area. And then lastly, points. And here's where we're staying at is the Grand Hyatt. But this classroom could be a point. So it's a mixture of using lines, polygons, and points. So what can you do with GIS? Well, you can do lots of things. You can map locations, you can find features, you can look and see how patterns evolve. Okay, so knowing GIS, and then the application of it for today's presentation is that about 2 years ago there was an outbreak of what we call, well, it first started off as it started off as a swine flu, and then it became the H1N1 flu, and then it became the pandemic H1N1 flu. And so kind of the name evolved into influenza. And so, and I think it infected everybody. Everybody was involved in some aspect of the H1N1 flu in your jobs and so forth. Well, in the distribution of this during 2009, you can see that it covered pretty much all of the United States. There was widespread involvement of the activity in prevalence cases and cases of morbidity, mortality. And so in order to address the flu epidemic, the Department of Public Health, which mostly is to prevent disease and promote prevention, is that we became involved in designing programs to immunize, to create messages, to distribute information, to get the information out on to become vaccinated against the H1N1 flu. And so in LA County, I don't know if you're familiar where people are coming from, but LA County's kind of big. It, as you say, here, we are here, Los Angeles County, actually there's something like 56 counties in California, but if you combine the Kern, San Bernardino, and LA County, it's actually bigger than three or four New England states. So it's one of the larger counties in the United States. So within LA County, it's further divided up into called service planning areas. And the service planning areas are governed by the Board of Supervisors. So we have our Antelope, it's a kind of a deserty area, from the desert to the sea. And within the LA County, there are 26 health districts. And here are just some of the basic boundaries of the health districts. And so here are the spas in LA County. And what a health educator from Spa 8, her name is Jessica Marshall, she was interested in developing an intervention in the African-American population in Spa 8, because she was saying that there's a very low percent of African-Americans receive the H1N1 flu vaccine. So some of the disparities in the back of H1N1 in the African-American community is that, first of all, the public health, we did a lot of things. We immunized people. Again, we presented information and messages throughout the county. But in terms of disparities, we found out that 9% of African-American population, but yet there's a very small percent that the vaccinations were distributed. So we wanted to increase that distribution of vaccines. And because one of the aspects of the H1N1 is that those who receive it and who are high-risk populations that may be immunocompromised, that might lead to increased morbidity and mortality. So Jessica did in SPA 8, first of all, we looked at SPA 8 and some of the characteristics. And this was, again, this is an open source we have in California called the Health Information Survey. And we're looking at different ethnicities and races who did not receive the flu vaccine during the 12 months in 2009. So here you see African-American population, 62.4% did not receive a flu vaccine. Okay, against 60% for LA County. So the next thing was to look at the different spas that we saw previously. So here is South Bay, or the Spa 8, Service Planning Area 8. We saw that 60% of those did not receive a flu vaccine. So that's kind of a large amount of people. So her idea was saying what she would like to do is develop an outreach program at churches. So in order to reach the African-American population, that if we could develop this outreach in the churches, we might be able to reach more people. And if we look at where people received their vaccine, most received their vaccines, and this is most of the insured population. And as we get down here, more people without insurance, and finally, the least place is a place of worship or other. And this is what we were trying to target, to increase the amount of flu vaccinations through this outreach program. So what we decided to do was, again, using these two concepts of GIS and faith-based organization, we wanted to know where the churches were located. And there's an open source called Reference USA that you can, with a public library card, this is an open source data point. And then within the churches that we were targeting, the information that they gave was, besides giving the church, they would break it down in the survey of the square footage of site of churches, which we used as a proxy. So the larger churches, we were assuming, had a larger congregation. They would give the number of employees, even the amount of computers at each location. So this is a pretty good place to get general information. The caveat on this is that with all information that's open source, the idea is you need up-to-date information. So there's always a caution. In this case, there's a variance in the reality. So you want to ground truth some of these things and find out if they really do, are they still operating there? And so so we got the locations and found their, and with the locations of their zip codes, we were able to get their latitude and longitude and then therefore geocode them and convert them into points. And so that's where the churches are. The other thing was getting the, we wanted to find out within SPA 8 where were most of the African-American population. So you bring the churches and the concentration of the African-American population, then you can target your outreach because, I don't know, unless you have all the time and all the resources, you probably don't need this, but if you have limited resources and you have limited time, you've got to really strategically plan on where to conduct your outcome. So this is how the site looks like. You can look at businesses, new businesses, consumers, lifestyles, and it's just an open source of information. And as you can see, here's the city of Whittier. This is a public library. Having a library card, you can have free access to this database. So with getting the information, putting it on a map, the next thing was to analyze the data. And so we used a spatial analysis tool, which would indicate the highest density of large African-American churches in what Jessica determined was targeted zip code areas. And then lastly, we used something called Mapbook, and I'm going to show that right now. So here we are, downloaded all the zip codes for LA County. There's something like close to 400 zip codes, and so it looks kind of busy. So within the program called, I'm not familiar with ESRI, the desktop. Yeah, okay. This was 9.3.1, and it's gone up to 10, and this year they opened up 10.1, so you're kind of becoming product users of the company. But anyways, within this, you can use a geoprocessing tool called Intersect, which would locate, here's Jessica's targeted zip code area, and with this Intersect tool, you can now locate just the zip codes within her target area. So here's SPA 8, and here are the zip code areas. Now the next is to find out, using census tract population, where is the largest population of African Americans in SPA 8. And so with the U.S. Census tool, you can use FactFinder and download. This involves a little more complexity is that you have your census tracts, which are maps, and then you've got to link them to the demographic profiles. And with that, you can see here, you can map out the areas in SPA 8 where the highest African-American populations. And so you would want to, if you were going to do an outreach program in churches in SPA 8 with the highest African-American populations, you can use the demographic indicators here with the census tracts. And here you'd said, well, let's find the churches in these two areas because it seems like this is the highest percent. So the next thing is we just plot the churches in the targeted areas. So you have a kind of a distribution, but the thing is, within the targeted areas, you want to find where are the highest density of churches in your target population. So another tool to use is within the program is called in spatial analyst tool, you use kernel density. And so you type in density, you come down, and kernel density, and which this does, it's kind of like it's a mathematical formula. It calculates a magnitude per unit area from point or polyline, and locates the higher densities from other areas. So what the result of that is, you can see, this is also called, in other terms, hotspot analysis. So here are the highest density of African-American churches in the area. Okay, Okay, so understanding that, then the next piece would be, okay, we want to create kind of a report where we can show the health officer and other, which oversees the spa and other personnel, so we can begin to strategize and develop the intervention. We want to do is we can use this thing, tool called Mapbook, which will plot the churches by zip code. And so here's the tool where we use this customize and use a data-driven page. And this is the link over here. And then what we can come up with is here's our map. Out of each zip code, here's the zip code right here. Here are the names of the churches. You can see the streets. And here are the targeted areas. And here's what this outline here is this piece right here. So we have large churches, small churches. We found out there were 57 churches in the area. And with this, you can, instead of singularly do it, you can map, you can use this function, and it's instantaneous, and you can print out how many zip codes you wanted for your area. And in this case, there was, we have 33 zip codes in the targeted area. Huh? Okay, yeah, we're pretty much on time. Okay, and so here's one, here's another area, 90810, see the number of churches. And this represents this area here. So, and this can be done pretty fast. Within hours, you can get this information and convert it over, use the tools, and you have a report that, say, you're up against the clock and the next day you have to give a report. You can download this information, print it out, and you've got your report. So, with this, with these tools, then we were able to locate the churches that in the African American community that we could be able to target, and that was the initial phase of the outreach intervention. So that's what I have, and hopefully some of these things can be used in, and it's just a way of using GIS to show how you can solve some of these problems. That's all. Thank you. Okay.